Whether the majority of Americans wants to admit it or not, not all the people in America will go to heaven. A lot of people think that just because they were born in America or just they were in the church for the funeral, somebody's funeral or somebody's wedding, somehow they think that they're going to go to heaven. Or they were baptized when they were a kid, they're going to go to heaven. Or they think that in their own standard, because they are good people, they are going to heaven. According to our Bible, on our left, the Word of God, the truth. Unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And there is no other way other than through Jesus Christ. So every person and every individual must ask ourselves, who is the Lord? We have to ask ourselves, who is the Lord? If the answer is, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, your destined, eternal destination is heaven. If you say he's a nice person, he's a good teacher, he is God, but yet he's not your Savior, your eternal destination is hell. So the difference between your answer, one or another, is literally the difference between heaven and hell. That's not something I'm making up. That's something what God makes it up. It's radically different. In John chapter 18, verse 38, you don't have to go there, but I'll just quote it for you. Pontius Pilate asked to Jesus, haphazardly, what is the truth? Yet, he didn't seek the truth. Instead of seeking the real truth, he kindly said it and walked away. And he crumbled under the pressure of political balance and popularity. Today, many people still crumble under the pressure of same kind of things. Popularity, didn't want to be isolated, so they say, well, I'm a Christian, not a born-again Christian, but I'm a Christian. Let me tell you one thing very clear to you. If you are not born-again Christian, you are not Christian at all. Get that? You are not Christian at all, so don't pretend. This morning, we are going to meet the Pharaoh who thought he was a god himself of Egypt. And he tried to contend with the God of Israel. He thought he could take on this God of Israel and win. So he tried, and he will face consequences. There are going to be the 10 different plagues coming from God and destroy the entire land of Egypt. And he will go down to the hell with deceiving himself and also knowing that God is one true God. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 5 and we will have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we are about to receive. We want to know about our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately, that we may represent him to the world who deny him and may become his ambassador in proper way. Lord, also pray. We pray for our troops around the world, and we pray for their safety and their return. And we also pray for the protection for our law enforcement and the firefighters around this community. And we are asking your hand to be upon them and protect them. Keep them safe. We are asking you, this Holy Spirit upon us, to shed wisdom to us to understand your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and nor will I let Israel go. Chapter 5 begins with a contest with the Pharaoh. to appreciate how audacious the Moses' request to the Pharaoh is, we must understand power and the authority of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh did not have any equivalent people in Egypt, or no constitution, no law, no legislature can contend against him or coming remotely even close to him. Whatever he says and flies. There is no one who keep him in checks and balance. He was nothing to do with being a public servant. Public lived for him. I mean, you're talking about ultimate dictator, ultimate power monger. That's what he was. And here, all of a sudden he comes in and Moses is asking for release these slaves. The reason why the Pharaoh is considered himself as something special is because to Egyptian, Pharaoh is considered child of their sun god. And he's the greatest. He's the friend of the greatest gods, one of the many gods. And he goes into the temple and sit on the throne with of course, and on the side, there's a bunch of statues of their idols. And he received worship alongside of these idols. So to him, he's God, not only God, he is also king, and nobody to be accountable to. So to him, nothing is impossible in his own opinion. Actually, this is a battle of God and the gods of Egypt. It's nothing between Moses and Pharaoh. So when the Pharaoh asked question, who is God, in arrogant manner, he was not challenging Moses, but he's challenging God himself. God revealed himself by bringing 10 different plagues to him as a punishment. Even the Pharaoh did not know and did not have a right attitude toward God. However, he had the right questions. What am I talking about? The right question is not question should not be about the Pharaoh, who Pharaoh is, nor who Moses is. The question should be who God is. Who is God to you? As I said before, depends on how you answer, what kind of heartfelt answer you come up with, your eternal destination is radically different. God doesn't mind a question from a sincere seeker. However, he resents smart-aleck remark or the snotty remark from the scoffer. And he revealed his truth to them with the consequences to follow. Let's continue in verse 3. So they said, "The God of Hebrew has met with us. Please let us go 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he falls upon us with a pestilence or with the sword." Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, "Why do you take these people from their bad works? Get back to your labor." And the Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor." So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw." To make the brick as before, let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quarter of the bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cried out, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on them, that they may labor in it. Let them not regard a false word." While I was growing up in South Korea, and at the time that we had a very hard line against communism in North Korea, still is. Between South Korea and North Korea, there is not a whole lot of friendship going on. Politically, they're trying to pretend that they're a friend, but they are not. Because one side is communism, the other one is not. I learned a lot about, I had to learn a lot about the communism. One of the things, their policy they have, their dictator said, if the people in North Korea have a warm bag and full stomach, they tend to come up with a restless idea. In the same line of thought, what the Pharaoh is saying is these people have way too much time. Because their stomach is full, they're comfortable, so they come up with this kind of idea of vacation. Folks, let me put it this way. Satan does not like us to come up, does not want us to come up with any idea while we are his slaves. Now that we are freed, he cannot do anything about us, but he can certainly try to pretend that he is still on us. Before we go more on that idea, what about the straw? What's this straw got to do with the brick? Archaeologists finding out that from the Egypt, when they discovered these ancient ruins, and they find this bricks with a straw, without straw, and some of them with a root, and some of them with a nut at all. What does it mean? What's this straw for? It's the acidic content that makes the brick strong, stay stronger and stay in the formation better. It's kind of holding the mud together in the shape. And this is not something they bake in furnace. They bake in this, it's a kind of sun-dry brick. So they have to have some sort of other material to hold the mud together. Otherwise, the brick will not last long. Let's continue verse 10. And the taskmaster of the people and the officer went out and spoke to the people and saying, thus says the Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourself the straw that where you can find. Yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather the stubbles instead of straw. And the taskmaster forced them to hurry and saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was a straw. Also the officers of children of Israel, whom the Pharaoh taskmaster had set them over, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Remember that when I started to teach the book of Exodus, I gave a bunch of typologies. Remember? The Egypt is a type of the world that we are living in. And this world resents three things. Number one, the Bible. Number two, Christianity. Number three, ultimately, they resent God. So with that in mind, let's think about this. The world does not have any respect for the word of God. To them, it's a vain word. You show the Bible, the truth from the Bible to the people who are non-believers, they'll look at you and with that smirk on their face, so you're a Bible thumper. Or you're a Jesus freak. Don't be disheartened about that. Because to you, to God, you're a child of God. You're precious in His eyes. What is more important, their opinion or God's opinion? We shouldn't be surprised that the greatest challenge comes right before the victory. When these people heard the sound from the Moses, and the God is with you, and God will deliver you from this bondage, of course they were excited. When they went to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh turned around and gave them more work to do. Folks, Satan will not let you get away, as I said before, that easily. We'll find more about it. Verse 15, and the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servant? There is no straw given to your servant. And they say to us, make a brick. And indeed your servants are beaten, and the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle and idle. Therefore you say that let us go and sacrifice to the Lord, and therefore go now and work. And for no straw shall be given to you, yet you shall deliver the quarter of the bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from daily quarter. In their trouble, children of Israel turned to Pharaoh instead of turning to God. They're turning to the wrong direction. And they get what they get? Disappointment. And these Israeli people found no relief from the Pharaoh. That's the same thing. Many immature Christians, whenever they go through a difficult time, they put themselves in the same place as the Israeli people. Satan does not give a relief to any one of us. When the immature people, immature Christians run to the Satan or the different things or different methods in the world that provides, such as alcohol, drug, sex, money, more work, or even depending on spouse or depending on other people. Let's say, make a quick example. Somebody is going, one of the Christians, rather young Christian, is going through difficulty with the finance. Instead of turning to God, what do? They use a credit card. What is the average interest rate for the credit card nowadays? 23.9%? So if you don't pay the balance within a month, let's say you borrowed $100, you pay the $10, and you have a $90 balance, they will charge you 23.9%. Of course, the annual, the daily rate will be a little bit less, but it will still come out to be somewhere around $10 per month, addition to the top of it. So they will add a $10 or $90. So it's back to, even though you paid the $10, it's back to $100. And you pay another $10 the following month, and they will now, this time, they charge you from $100. See how it goes? The compounding? They continue to add more debt on you. Once you get into that trap, you get sucked into it. Many people fall for it. We were. Karen and I, we were. Folks, if you cannot handle a credit card, you cannot pay off once a month completely, do not use a credit card. Bible says don't be in debt to anyone except the love to other people. Whoever owes to somebody, that person is the slave to the other person. So people tend to turn to the other things that instead of God. What the Satan does for them, they don't let them go. More bondage. Just like a Pharaoh gave more bondage when the Israeli people turned to Pharaoh instead of turning to God. They find no rest, they find no hope, they find no peace. Verse 20. Then as they came out from the Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, now let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of the Pharaoh and the sight of his servant, to put the sword in their hands to kill us. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought the trouble on these people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. When the Israeli was a good slave to the Pharaoh, they thought Pharaoh was their friend. Let me put it in our term. When we were slave to the Satan, before we came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, we thought Satan was for us. The world is for us. Until you got the idea of being free in Jesus Christ. Once you came to know Jesus Christ, the salvation came into your life. What happened? all of a sudden the world is against you. Remember the time before you became a born-again Christian. They say, the world said, let's go have a drink, buddy. Let's do this together, buddy. My pal. Now you become a so-called Bible thumper, church goer, you Christian freak. What do they call you? They shun you, don't they? Why? Because they hate you. They hate your God. They are not your friend. Do you know who is your true friend? Jesus. Many Christians can have a joy and when the things are easy. But it takes true maturity to find a peace and joy in the midst of trouble. It takes a lot of God in your heart to be in that position. It's easy to be happy and joyful when everything goes your way. When the things goes in the haywire and the things not going in your way, you still can find a peace and joy in your heart. How? Because God is the one who gives you peace and joy. By the way, don't close the book yet, because I'm not done yet. I'm going to verse 1 of chapter 6. And the Lord said to Moses, now that you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. You were thinking, I'm going to finish just one chapter, right? Gotcha. For with a strong hand I will let them, he will let them go. With a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. God is promising, reminding Moses that he will continue to deliver the people. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, that's his name, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage in which they are strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel from the Egyptian to keep the bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, they say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And put the number 1 and I will, the sentence, I will bring them, I bring you out of the under the burden of Egyptian. Number 2, I will rescue you from their bondage. And number 3, I will redeem you with outstretched arms and with a great judgment. Number 4, I will take you as my people. And number 5, I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. And number 6, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number 7, I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because the anguish of the spirit and the cruel bondage. In reminding Moses about his name, the name of God, God is reminding them he is covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. It's so easy to promise to other people. Don't we do that often? Yeah, I'll pray. One of the famous ones is, I'll pray for you. Do you? If you said, I will pray for you, you better pray for that person. Don't say, I'll just pray for you, but I say, oops, I forgot. If you cannot remember, like I cannot remember a lot of things, like yesterday, I left my office, went to the kitchen, and stood there, I look at my beautiful wife's face and say, why am I here? She looked at me like that look. You're an idiot, that look. So I went back to my office, sat there, and for a while, and then I remember I went back to the kitchen for a bottle of water. Go figure, right? Don't look at me like you've never done that before. You've done that. You know what I'm talking about. If you cannot remember that you're going to pray for somebody, you pray right then. Or if you have to write it down somewhere, some of you guys carry a palm. Write it down in your palm. If you don't have that kind of palm, use the original model palm. Here. You use this for anything else, right? Why not pray for somebody, so-and-so? Keeping promise. Our God is covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Let's imitate Him. Verse 6 through 8, I ask you to underline and put the numbers, 7 of them. Our will, redemption. Our wills of the redemption. There are the 7 points. This is the points of, it paints a marvelous, marvelous portrait of Jesus Christ to us and encouragement to the Moses during that time. Let's start with the number 1. I will bring you out of the, from the, under the burden of the Egyptian. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. While you're turning, let me say this. We carry the burden of sin today and things of the world as oppression to the heart. God can deliver us from the burden of sin through faith in Christ Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. And some of you are wondering, why are we flipping back and forth? Do you know where the Joel is, book of Joel is? Do you know where the book of Habakkuk is? Or how about Malachi? If you don't know, that means you don't know the Bible. Isn't it good for you to get to know the Bible, the Word of God? That's why I'm asking you to flip it. And you may ask, can't you not show on the screen? Yeah, I can. If I do that, you will stop carrying the Bible. Christian without Bible ain't good. So get to know the 66 books. Get to memorize the sequence of books. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you what? Rest. God will give us rest. Second point I asked you on the line was, I will rescue you from the day of bondage. God delivers us from the slavery of sin when we come to Him with an open heart to receive Him into our lives and as a Savior Lord. John 8, 36. John 8, 36. That would be the fourth book in the Gospels in the New Testament. John 8, 36. Therefore, if the Son make you free, you shall be, what? Free indeed. Freedom, what we find here, even in the United States, is not true freedom. The true freedom is that comes from only from Jesus Christ. Third point, I will redeem you with outstretched arms with a great judgment. Romans 3:23. People ask Jesus, I'll just wait until you turn. Romans 3:23. Some of you guys know this by heart. People might ask, how much do you love me, Jesus? You know what he did. He said this much. He stretched his arms across the cross and died for you and me. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He paid our sins. The debt He did not owe, the debt we could not pay. Fourth point, I will take you as my people. I will take you as my people. John chapter 15, verse 16. A couple books back. John chapter 15, 16. I love the sound of page flipping. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give to you. God chose the believers in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, before the beginning. And He placed them in the eternity past. You are chosen people, peculiar people, royal priesthood. Be in good cheer. You are chosen people. If you are born again Christian, you are chosen people. You're talking about major holy gang. We are in. We are in. Really in. Not because you're good, because God is cool. Fifth point, I will be your God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. If you're in a concordance, you've went too far. Some people got it. Some people didn't. What's the concordance? Is there another book in the Bible? Whoa. Chapter 21, verse 3. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. God loves us. That's why He, by nature, He wants to be our God. He wants to love us. Let me ask you this. Honest, goodness opinion. How would you like to have a God here, like a Buddha, you know, fat boy, sitting down, all He does is open His hand, give me money, thing. And there's the fat Buddha, and cannot do anything. He cannot even go to the bathroom. He cannot change His underwear. He cannot do anything. He's a God who holds the entire universe in His hand. Which God would you rather serve? The one who cannot do anything for you, but willing to take everything? Another God who gave everything for you. Only begotten Son, so that you and I don't have to burn in hell. That's a no-brainer for me. Next point, I will bring you into the land. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And you're thinking, are you picking that verse again? Yeah, it is so good that I cannot resist. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The trip from Egypt to land of Canaan, the promised land, it's a journey. It's a journey that typifies our lives on this earth as a Christian. You follow me? This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. While we're journeying, making a journey from here, this world, to heaven, we cannot live just like the rest of world people. Or we cannot even live like the world, what we were. We have to be different. How do we How do we become different? Here's the answer. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God is not asking us to do something special. He's telling us to do something reasonable. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, and that you may prove that what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God is asking us to do this. It's reasonable. Last point. I will give it to you as a heritage. God is promising us. He will give the heaven to us as a heritage. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians and Colossians in New Testament. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And some of you are thinking, this is the most time that I ever flipped the Bible than all my life. Well, good for you. This is just start. For our citizenship is heaven, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Heaven is our home. We are just passing through this place, and that is our heritage. We will receive heaven. Let's make application. Number one, God doesn't mind a question from the sincere seeker, but he resents a snide remark from the scoffer and teach them a lesson to reveal the truth about himself. So if you are one of those people who's making snide remark to God, actually you are doing a disadvantage for you, to yourself. If you're truly looking for God, if you're truly looking for truth, God will answer you. Let me make it this way. Let's say you don't know Jesus Christ until now. Let's say you are not born again Christian. I have a challenge for you. If you can take this challenge, man and woman enough to take this challenge, I dare you to take this challenge. If you really don't know him, say this in your heart, not even a word. God, if you are real, make yourself known to me. You'll be surprised. Only reason why you don't do it is because you are afraid that he become real to you. I guarantee. If you really seek him, if you really want to know the truth, he will reveal himself to you. Word says, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. I guarantee, and I challenge you, if you don't know him, ask him. He will be all over you. Second application, depending on how we receive the word of God, it can be a great guidance to the truth or the rod of punishment against us. It's up to us. The same sun that might melt the wax that hardened the clay. Did you hear it? Did you get it? The same sun that can melt the wax can harden the clay. Depends on what kinds of material. Depends on what kinds of mindset you have. If your mindset is like wax, you will melt in his presence. You will become his. But if you reject him, become resentful to him, you'll be like a clay, hardened clay. So, let me ask you this. Who is the Lord to you? Is he some big dude upstairs and just waiting for you, your want and needs, like a bellboy with hands in the front and shake, going like, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir? Or is it some sort of abstract being you have no idea about? Who is that to you? Is he God? Is he Savior? Is he the Lord of your life, whom you want to serve him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and body? If not, why not? Especially young people, listen up. At your age, you tend to think that you know it all. How do I know? Because I was one of them. And you have to believe that, yes, I was young once in a long time ago. I thought I knew it all until I realized how much I didn't know. If you think you know it all, and you think there is no God, and if you think the evolution is a thing and it's a fact, well, no wonder you're acting like an animal. Folks, challenge God. Ask him to reveal the truth to you. He will. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Don't move around, please. After this kind of message, I must give the message, ask you this simple question. Who is the Lord to you? Is He Savior or is He somebody you don't know? Why not get to know Him today? Wouldn't that be cool to know Him personally, the God who created the entire universe? If you'd like to know Him, it's very simple. You don't have to be somebody special. God loves you as you are. He will love you, He will accept you, He will cleanse you with His righteousness in Christ Jesus. And He will accept you as one of His children. He will give you that heritage. So in the quietness of this congregation, I'm going to ask you this one more time. Who is the Lord to you? If you don't know Him, raise your hand and to receive Him. Anyone? Okay. Some of you may have walked away from God, backslidden, and you did your own thing, and you're miserable. You're like a prodigal son. You want to come back. You want to come back? Raise your hand. Anyone? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Let that question ring in our heart. Who is the Lord to me? And let us go out, represent You as our Lord and Savior and our God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need a prayer, please come on down.